Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes I just can't get to work. Producer Joel is here.
I'm here.
In person.
Yes.
You are.
It's better like this, isn't it?
Oh, it's much better. It's nice to see you rather than just being on the phone.
We've both had haircuts.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's a bit short. Don't like it.
Mine's a bit short.
Yeah, don't like it.
You hate short hair, don't you?
Yeah, well, no, I don't hate short hair at all. No, where you heard that? Who's told you that? Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. Joel, what's been happening? I'm just going to grab my cup of tea. Is that all right to do that?
Lovely mic control to get up and do that.
Yeah, yeah, keep it the same distance from my mouth at all times.
Yep.
But the microphone was everywhere. But hey,
notoriously, when I once presented you with a cup of tea in my flat and you threw it all over a white wall.
I mean, devoted listeners will remember that episode.
Yeah, I remember it because
who was it? What episode was it?
I don't know. There was someone here, wasn't there?
It's not Little Bit Brown.
There was a comedian here.
Oh, was there? Oh, yeah, there was. We used to do them here, didn't we, before you banned the comedians recording in flat.
No, they're still very welcome. It's you that I have a real problem with.
I'm here now.
I banned comedian from my flat.
I'm here now. I'm here now, Joel.
Yeah.
What have you got to say about that?
Hurry up and get out. What's been happening?
Tom stayed.
Good stuff. Did he?
We did that joke last week, Joel.
I know.
Great episode. Good feedback. Any feedback about the podcast, at Jokes with Mark. On social media and Apple Podcasts.
It's a good place for it.
Yeah, five stars, please. Is it all right just to say five stars, please? You have to, really, because there's no... less is unacceptable.
I would stop saying please and just be more forceful with it.
Now.
Yeah, five stars now.
Five stars now.
You've got an iPhone in your hand. And we know there's loads of you out there with iPhones in your hand that have never reviewed it.
Yeah.
Review it.
Aww.
Five stars now.
Thanks. Joel, what were you going to say? You wanted to say something.
Comedy news.
You want to bring a what do you call this? If there's like a
dormant
section in a radio
dormant
show or something?
Feature. It's a feature.
Well, we mentioned it once, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Comedy news. You want to talk about comedy stuff?
Well, I remember we did it once and I enjoyed doing it.
I feel like maybe that's, if you want to bring that to the table, Joel, you just fill your boots, mate.
Go okay.
What do you want to talk about? And I'll talk about it with you, I promise.
I watched the first two parts of the Frankie Boyle documentary.
Okay.
Where he goes around Scotland.
I didn't know there was one.
It's on the iPlayer.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good.
It's really... You see lots of bits of Scotland you maybe don't know about.
Well,
like
I think...
Peterhead.
I mean, my avid fans will know that I did the documentary about Scotland.
Yeah.
Comedy going around Scotland before Frankie Boyle did.
Yeah, but that was a little bit two Englishmen laughing at Scotland, whereas this
we
is someone
not
embedded in the
at
culture.
Scotland, and I am an...
If eighth, anything, Scotland was laughing
I
at you.
I'm an eighth Scottish.
How often did you scream that when you were doing the documentary?
Yeah, they didn't keep that bit in. They're constantly saying it. So that sounds really good. Is it a bit like sort of Billy Connolly going around?
A little bit, yeah, but it's...
But Frankie Boyle.
But his, like, narration is pretty surreal sometimes,
really?
And he'll do bits that are just made up, which I find really fun.
Well, I'll check it out. On
Please
the
check it out.
How many episodes will there be?
There's been two so far. I think maybe three or four.
Three or four. Check it out, people. Good stuff.
He's also, you see him do stand-up. He's really good at stand-up, isn't he?
Frankie Boyle?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Also, if you'd like Frankie Boyle to be a guest on this podcast,
that's the only reason I brought it up.
Did you really? Yeah. Can't see it ever happening. But tweet him. You never know.
He does podcasts. He likes podcasts.
And you know what? He actually tweeted the other day asking about gigs around Kentish Town area to try new material.
Mm.
I live near there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he lives near there. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm guessing maybe he does. So maybe it is doable.
Maybe you're both part of the North London Ginger Union.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need for that, Joel.
Why
you brought that up? Why did you bring that up? I just told you I don't like my short hair. Why are you having another dig?
It wasn't a dig.
Yeah, of course it was a dig.
Why is it a dig?
Why did you bring it up?
Just something you have in common.
Well, surely comedy would be the first thing you'd think of.
It's not. Well, it says a lot that it wasn't the first thing I thought.
Unbelievable. And we both did things in Scotland. We've got so much to talk about, Frankie and I. God, tweet him.
Come on, Frankie. Get on the show.
Tweet him. Okay. Any other comedy news, Joel?
That was it. Comedy news.
Oh, that's nice. That's a similar... what do you call that bit of the feature?
A jingle? A sting?
Jingle.
A stab.
A sting. This is really long, but I'm enjoying it.
that's all that matters.
In my previous podcast with Sean Walsh, News-ish.
R.I.P. The podcast, Sean's alive.
Yeah, I really hope so. I'll text him in a minute. Made me worry. What was I saying? Yeah, that was comedy news. There was something like, film news, movie news. I used to do the same.
Flow as well, does it?
Movie news. I think it does.
Comedy news.
Movie news. I think movie news is actually better.
Tweet us.
At Jokes with Mark.
Comedy news or movie news?
Movie news.
Comedy news.
And that podcast is going to hopefully come back soon. We're in negotiations at the moment, Joel.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
Well, we're just chatting about it, basically.
Mm. It's better. I refer to every conversation I have as negotiations. It makes you sound really official.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, is this a negotiation now?
In a way. We're negotiating our way to the big interview.
Which is... Reece James!
Awooga!
I've told you, it's hashtag Awooga. Mm. If it's Awooga, that's John Fashion News, but we've made it our own by saying hashtag Awooga. John Fashion News hasn't hashtagged an Awooga. Back in the Gladiator days, there was no such thing as hashtagging. No.
He didn't have that much foresight.
No, he didn't. Anyway, hashtag Awooga, Reece James episode. Spoke to Reece for ages. It was good stuff, and we've got extra bonus footage, which I think, Joel, we're going to release in video form.
What?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I'm going to put it out in a mailing list.
Ah.
That's a nice idea, isn't it? I'm going to start doing a mailing list, Joel. So if any of you would like to join my mailing list, you can go to my bio on my Instagram, at Jokes with Mark, or the pinned tweet at Twitter.
Very nice.
At Jokes with Mark.
I might join it.
You should join it. Mm. And you'll find out all the news about me, Joel. There's so much stuff happening. But also, bonus fetish for the podcast from the podcast.
Here's Reece James.
Here's Reece James. Hashtag Awooga. So what were we talking about just before? We said something about... You were talking about a joke and you were about to tell me it, and then I said, save it.
Oh, it was just the talking about those type of jokes where the joke is that you stop talking.
Yeah.
It's the end of the sentence. It's quite a Simpsons thing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's
the police.
This is the joke police about to listen to this.
Wonder how much that does pick up. I mean, that's definitely picking up, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah, of course it is. Wow. What do you want to do? Listen back?
No, we just wait till it stops and then keep going. Because your joke police thing will be cracking, mate. That was good.
Oh, it's terrible.
There we go. Nice one. Okay, so the jokes where they just stopped abruptly, and you said you had a show where you just wrote quite a lot of those.
I had like three in one show. I just couldn't stop writing them. Because the reason they're good to write is because it's actually the absence of work, isn't it? It's doing less work. You just thought, that's done. In fact, I listened to an episode the other day where you said you ended up with one by accident about I've got quite weird genital. It was a setup.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not quite the same because the ones I'm talking about are like mid-sentence, it stops. And the one I did, it came from conversation, but I think I've got it as a clip of just this joke of like, I went to the cinema with my grandma and she was complaining about the ticket price, going, it's £20 a ticket, £20. And I was like, £20? I wipe my ass. Yeah. So we went to the cinema.
I see you do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was the most fun joke to do ever. And like, I'd already done like two of those type of jokes in the show. It was so fun doing that joke. And it came from a conversation with Natasha Dimitriou,
right,
the comedian and actor, where literally that, it was like, I was offered a gig and it was really far away. It was like £100. And she was just like, still, it's £100. And I just went into right in her face and said, £100. And then I was... I wanted to say I wiped my ass with £100, but I said it so slowly that after I finished saying wipe my ass, I just leant back, and then I was like, that immediately, I was like, that's so funny. But I was like, don't look impressed with yourself. So I wanted to get my phone out and write it down immediately. So I'd just be like, oh, sorry, I've just got to go take this call halfway through the sentence. And she just looked at me like, what? And then I wrote it down, and I did it so often that what was interesting about that joke, and this isn't interesting, but it worked really well in a show, and it never really was good in
the
set.
Same show. That one joke, you mean?
That one joke. And then I would like try and do it in a... It was like one of the biggest laughs of the show.
Yeah.
And you try and do it in a gig. And it would work, but it wouldn't have the same atmosphere at all.
Did you do it in the
pacing
show?
Pacing-wise, though, it's in a set, I'm being quicker.
Yeah,
constantly
you
quicker.
Do talk, yeah, yeah.
So you notice it more. Whereas in the show, it's like, it might have come in a bit, or I was slowing it down.
And you said you did a few of those in that show. Were
yeah,
the
was that.
Were the other ones before it?
Yeah, that was quite near the end. So they would have been before it, I think.
So that might have added to it.
Yeah, they're like...
Especially if it's got clever, like a more sort of hard to see it coming.
Yeah.
Because that you don't see coming at all.
It's just
it's
such
not...
a fucking stupid image of someone who thinks that's a brag. I just found it so funny.
I
to...
wipe my ass.
Saying it in your grandma's face as well. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. But that was me. The reason we talked about that just then is because literally seconds before we began recording, I said, I've got the best one of those jokes ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that sort of... it turns out my personality. I'm realizing that more and more as people, the conversations I'm having now involve microphones and go out on Acast. Yeah. I'm realizing, oh, I'm the worst.
I get really paranoid about what I say. And like quite often I say it to my producer, because I listen back usually just to make sure I'm happy with everything.
Mm.
And then I'm like, I just go, are you sure? Did that sound like a dick when I said that? And
right.
Like, and he's just like, you're really overthinking it. Although people now listening are probably thinking, no, you do sound like
you
a dick.
You know what that means?
And that is why we listen.
Your producer's not really listening. That's what he's saying. Oh, you're probably overthinking it, mate. I just put it out unedited. Can't be bothered. He just can't be bothered to cut anything. That's what it is.
I wrote one of those jokes, but I don't think it's going to go in my show. One of the stock ones. I had a feeling that it must have been done before, but like...
What was your one?
It's a... what is it? Hang on. Oh, fucking hell.
Is this it?
This is, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, very meta.
It's quite hard to see where it's coming from. I have a habit of starting things.
I like that. But that is meta. It actually is meta as I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
But they know, because they don't know, the audience don't know what you're fucking doing.
But do you think it's a starting things and not...
To me... I mean, this is my problem with comedy, is that that is the way to make the joke work.
Yeah.
To me, that is so signposted, I would never do it.
Right, yeah.
But I'm the one who suffers because I'm the one who doesn't have a joke that works. Literally, that is the solution to getting the laugh.
Yeah.
And I would...
Oh, you mean the extra bit on the end?
Yeah, saying the extra bit
right,
on the end.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
And saying it would make me go, nah, it's making it too obvious for them. So I would just go, I just won't do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't get the laugh or something.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm only really this hard on myself. When I watch another act do something and they kind of do it, I'll still be like, oh, good stuff. But I wouldn't even register really. So I wouldn't even go like, oh, well, they did that shit thing of adding the thing there. And I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I just suffer for no reason to go like, it's not like this quality control pays off.
Yeah, I know. I tend to always go for the one that's too clever. Whereas, and then I'll try something a little bit simpler, and it'll get like I got like if it's it feels too simple, I'm like I won't even try that.
It's loads of things,
and then
I
do
it work.
And it goes bang, and then I'm like, oh, I have to keep that now. Like that. Do you know
what
I mean?
So often, there's from when I was really new, people used to say to me, like promoters as well would say, your stuff's really good. The audience don't understand it. And I would just be like, well, it's there. That's their problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Get on the fucking wavelength, because I'm not. Going to spoon feed this shit.
That's the trouble, because we play so many different sorts of audiences.
So often I with new stuff, the problem I have is that I've come up with as the whole joke is to the audience the premise of the joke.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I refuse to do the example. So it's like you set up, oh, what about when people do this or whatever? And then I will not do the next bit. And a perfect example of this happening is I don't have an example of a joke that does that right now. No, for example, I had this one where I was like, I had this line I really liked for this show I'm touring at the moment. And I just got rid of it because it just didn't fit, which is just, I like the line, saying the line, sleep is so good, people want to die in it. Right. I just like that as an idea.
Yeah.
It's more of like a fucking pseudo philosophical postcard than anything else.
Yeah.
But then like to get the laugh, that would get like a little laugh. And then a big laugh would be, you can't say that about Watford or something like that. Just picking a shit place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it twice and was like, I hate saying that
but
so
that
much.
But that got a big laugh.
Big laugh. Huge laugh every really? Time. Yeah. Like it's not the same thing you can say about Swindon. Just like, anywhere, rival town.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think a couple of times I would say, you can't say that about rival town. and that would always get like a bit of a laugh. But then I change it. So on tour at the moment, I just thought, I'll just get rid of the sleep thing. And I just open with, God, it's great to be here in Newcastle. So much better than all those rival cities. And I just say that at the top and it always is quite a big laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it just like I just so look like I don't give a shit. Because the show is so not personalised to the place.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
literally just, I'll do the thing. I mean, I chat to the audience, but I don't talk about where I am.
That's great. Also, your audience, I feel like your audience will get that more than your general.
You'd be surprised. I often say that to myself. I felt like my audience would get that. Oh, here we are. An hour and a half's gone by. And, well, goodbye. Absolute silence. Abject silence. Sold out, of course. Absolute silence.
I had one about sleep that didn't work the other day about, what was it? I'm really bad at remembering jokes, which is not a good sign for a comedian.
I wanted to clarify actually when we started is I'm not currently doing new stuff and I've got a bad memory. So I've had to go through some old notes to find some one-liners. And essentially all I did was go, like, I can't absolutely 100% remember the process of trying them and then not working and me tweaking them.
Yeah,
I just read a bunch of jokes on lists of jokes I have and went, that's fucking hilarious. Why do I not say that? It must be because they didn't work.
Yeah,
this is what that's based on. But I'm not doing new stuff because I wrote a...
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Sure.
Because we were trying to book this in before and you were like manically busy writing.
I did a radio show. So basically, I did Edinburgh. Whichever, obviously, that process is busy. Although that's the best time probably to do this podcast is in like July.
Yeah.
Well, I've just dropped all these things and here's why.
Mm.
But so I did the Edinburgh show. And then as soon as Edinburgh finished, so that's like writing a new hour for Edinburgh. And then I was taking it on tour, so I wanted it to be a bit longer.
Mm.
So I dropped stuff obviously for the Edinburgh gigs, but then I was like, keep that on the back burner and I'll bring it back on tour. And then I immediately got back from Edinburgh and had to write another hour. Because I was doing a Radio 4 show about something else.
It had to be about something else. You couldn't just
It didn't
do
have to be
show.
My material. Just I could have made my Edinburgh show that Radio 4 show. I just didn't want to. So basically, the Radio 4 show, the premise was that it was two episodes and they're both on the same topics, but they're conflicting opinions.
Oh, I just touched your knee.
That's quite all right. If you want my attention, you're looking me in the eyes. You can just start talking.
I've got longer fingers than I thought.
How have you lived this long?
I had a joke about having long fingers. What was that? That was about... someone said you got long fingers, so you'd be good at the piano. And I said, well, if you've got short fingers, just sit a bit closer.
Right.
Which I really liked, but never worked. anyway, so you wrote an hour.
So basically the idea was like two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Same topics, different opinions. So one's basically in really basic terms, one was left wing, one was right wing.
Okay.
So just like talking about like the environment. What's interesting about that is like I've tried loads of those jokes since and the context of.
Yeah,
what I was doing really helped the jokes.
Okay,
because also I don't want.
Oh, so if you. Oh,
the
right,
problem
yeah.
is that like all the funniest jokes are in the right wing episode because they're the ones you've never heard before.
Yeah,
or you haven't heard for 30 years at least. So all my favourite ones to write were in that episode because they're not really right wing. But the way audiences are left wing mostly on tour, it's different. But in London or whatever, and the audience I recorded it to were left wing.
Yeah.
And so the way you got away with it was by being like, I'm doing a thing. It's not really my opinion. I'm just trying these opinions on.
So did you say that at the beginning?
Yeah. So I had to really set up.
Before the recording or
it's
during,
in the, even in it's the in edit. The edit. Yeah. It's
so
like,
people at home get it.
Yeah, we're just doing a little thing. It's just an experiment.
Okay,
I don't have any opinions. I'm going to try some
on. So in your normal set, that wouldn't.
Then like, there's a couple of lines I just really loved from both episodes. And then you try and do them in your normal set. And only the ones that really work are in the left wing episode. But I don't really want to do that kind of comedy. I'm not a very political comic.
Yeah.
And these aren't necessarily political, but like, it's just like, everyone agrees with me. I don't like doing stuff where everyone agrees with me. I just find it a bit dull.
Yeah.
But also like loads of, it's ground that's been covered.
Is that the idea behind the show as well?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of the impetus between behind doing it was like...
So they're 2 half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
But so I had to write a new hour. Wow. So maybe 10, 15 minutes of my Edinburgh show went into it as like set up. But like, I didn't really... I can't really use it. Sometimes I do the environment material on the left side in that Top Secret where everyone's young.
Right, yeah.
But it does feel like pandering.
That's also annoying. If you only do that set every so often, I'd forget it. Like,
then you have to remind yourself and ugh.
Yeah.
I actually did that material on Mock the Week.
Oh, okay.
Because the stand-up, when they're in the stand-up round.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Environment, and I was like...
Oh, perfect.
I'll do that, and I'll use it. Because I thought, I'll never really be able to use this again.
Yeah.
But there's one joke I love so much from the Right Wing episode, and I have tried it in gigs. It was like the biggest... It was a big round of applause in the radio record, and I've tried it in the context of normal gigs, and it's okay.
Right.
And that joke is... things are really changing, aren't they? Like, women are like all empowered now. They're not shaving their legs. They're not wearing makeup anymore. And it's changed for men too, you know. As a man, you can't just like go up to a woman and call her beautiful anymore, you know, because she's not. I loved saying that joke
That's so great. And
if you just do it in a normal gig, people go, ooh. And you go, I'm fucking
That's
around.
That's really
clearly
funny.
It's so clearly a joke.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know how you can go, ooh. But
I had a joke where I said... the other day my cleaner called me a misogynist. Girlfriends, eh? And that gets under the wool sometimes. Good. It's like so clearly not what I think.
That's a great joke.
But so what I was going to ask you about that process, because that's a lot of stuff to write. And how long did you have to write it?
So I basically did it from kind of like 3.5 weeks. I did like 3 previews of it before we did the recording.
That's what I was going to say. So you only got 3 previews for that much material. That's
mad. Needed to space them. I knew I needed to space the previews out. So I couldn't do it like... When you're building a show, you're kind of happy to preview every night.
Yeah.
I definitely needed gaps because it was all like brand new. But so I had to just... So I wrote way more than an hour of ideas. Then I had to properly focus and go like...
Yeah.
No, it's going to be these. It's got to be these. And then I had to like just punch them up to the point of like... And even I worked... It was interesting because normally when you do like a writing an Edinburgh show, you start by just going, I kind of got 5 minutes of ideas. I'll go and do a 10 somewhere and I'll do old and 5 minutes of new ideas and you build it up, doing that over and over again until eventually you've maybe got half an hour. You share a preview with someone. Then you build it up like this. This, it was like, no, gig one.
And that scares the crap out of
an hour.
Yeah.
So it was like, but that meant that in order to do that, I had to write for a lot longer.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, fuck it. It's January. I'll just start. I've got 2 jokes.
So you'd get up and...
No, I need to have written at least an hour of ideas before I even get on stage. It was like the first time I've ever done that. And I might just do that from now on.
Yeah.
In terms of writing a new show, I might just go, oh, I'm just going to go into it. So I went into an office.
Because you feel like when you're writing your Edinburgh show, you feel like you are working as hard as you could work, but you're not.
Mate, this has changed my life.
Because when I had a full-time job, I wasn't writing that much. And then when I went down to... just doing this as my job, it's like, oh, sorry, when I had a full-time job and I was writing an Edinburgh show, I was like, this is like impossible.
Yeah.
And then I've got more time, I was like, oh, actually, this is actually a lot getting easier, but I still don't.
But isn't that just because of how hard it is to be creative when you're tired and
you've
done a day and you have to focus on something else.
Yeah.
The good thing about this was I had no choice but to treat it like a job. So I was doing 9-to-5s in an office. I was going to an office at my agent's office building.
Yeah.
I was getting a room there and I would just sit there 9-to-5. I didn't do it completely alone. I had a couple of people came in on a couple of different comics on a couple of days. Adam Hess helped me on one day, like coming up with ideas. Mark Smith helped me on another day. Just like coming up with shit. And then like sometimes there'd be like a comic at the gig. So like there was like, I did a bunch of previews at different venues, but then like I did Old Rope, for example, and did an extended closing set, and like Alfie Brown and Alex Keeley were there, and then we chatted about it afterwards, and they helped me go like,
oh, they're good for that.
What they were good at was just chatting to me about like, why are you doing it and what are you actually trying to get across?
Yeah.
Because it isn't clear. And then it made me go, really think about that. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I was doing it is because I pitched it 1.5 years ago and then we had no choice but to make it. I mean, that's why. I didn't. By the time it came around, I was like, oh, I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah. When you're pitching ideas, you're just like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
That sounds like a show that could be on.
Yeah.
Oh, you've actually commissioned it. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool. Let's stuff. Jokes.
Do you want a joke?
Jokes. Let's
talk
about
it. Okay, so as I say, I just
So is this from over the years? Like, have you got anything
from...
No,
these are all from this show. These are all bits... I mean, I've got some.
This show is in...
The show I'm on tour with.
Okay,
at the moment, yeah.
Great.
These are lines that, like...
tickets available at reesejames.com.
I was going through... Code.uk. I was going, I couldn't afford .com because of the sales. It's going through. There's a lot about death.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Because I find death quite difficult to
well, these
pull
didn't
off.
Work, so...
Have you... Did any death jokes make it in?
Yes. There's... So this one, it's so... I can see the place I would have tried it in my show.
Right,
there's
okay.
There's a bit about this topic. So the joke is, I was asked to speak at my granddad's funeral. Well, not ask. The words they use were explain yourself. Right. I don't really get it. I think the joke is that, oh, maybe I've killed him and then I've turned up or something.
Yeah.
I think I'm implying something that is like, if I don't really know what I'm implying. So I know the kind of area it's in, but I don't know exactly. So I think the audience is equally as like, it got a laugh, but it wasn't a good enough one to justify keeping it.
That's the trouble, because if there's lots of options of why something's funny, then...
Explain yourself. I liked the vagueness. And the ambiguity of it, but it doesn't help joke wise. So I got rid of it. But there's a bit about my granddad's funeral. So I was easy to slide. Also, because I think the reason I got rid of it, now I'm remembering it, is that it did get laughs, but it made the bit which is real seem not real.
Yes, got you.
So the rest of the bit was ruined by this joke.
Yep, because it's like, oh, he's just trying to trick us.
Just doing jokes about this. Another one.
I find that quite interesting that. Because I never have that problem, because I never talk about anything real.
It's a
real.
New problem for me.
Right.
So it's a new, in the last, I'd say, couple of years. I'm very bitty now. I used to be much more gaggy.
Right,
used to be much more short. And
but
now
you have sections.
I've got like long bits now. And they're full of, like, they've got little one-liners in them, but they have to be disguised. So I've only got one one-liner in my show that's visibly a one-liner now.
Okay.
And it's like... The reason it works is because it's such a one-liner.
And do you comment on it?
Comes out of nowhere. Where it's literally just, I've just finished like a 12-minute routine on a subject.
Okay.
I pause and then I just say, I feel like people who say everything happens for a reason have never shit themselves on public transport. Like it's a really philosophical thought.
Yeah.
And it's the fact, it's not that funny of a line, but the fact it's like, and then I just move on. And then I I think I sometimes say, I don't always link the jokes. And then I just move on to a new long bit.
Yeah.
It's literally a palate cleanser. I just use it as a palate cleanser. I've tried so many different lines in that.
So why did you start doing longer bits?
I just...
Naturally.
Yeah, I just like, often in the past, I would write these premises that I really liked. And then I would think they were the one-liners. And then I just sort of, no, fucking embrace that it's a premise and see what you can wring out of them.
Right.
And then you just realize, oh, just before you know it, it's 10 minutes. I've just written loads and it's 10 minutes.
You're just getting really good at comedy.
The next one of these, though, I also tried in obviously the same section. It's about my granddad's death again. Mm-hmm. Oh, my granddad did not die recently, by the way. I didn't write a show about
so
my granddad's
true.
Death. No, it's something to do with his funeral was like a good comparison to something else I was talking about in the show.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll just set this at my granddad's funeral.
Yeah.
Also, something else. There's another story about my granddad in the show. So I was like, all right, I'll just... Anyway, this one is, my granddad died on April Fool's Day every year for 10 years, right? Which ended up in one of those joke lists in Edinburgh.
Oh, really?
I didn't say it in Edinburgh once.
Oh, so you know PR
those,
got
look, I'm going to blow the whistle now. You know those joke lists? Yeah. Because you submit jokes to your PR and they send them to all the papers, which is a sham. Go to the show's journalists, you pricks.
The Dave one, they go round.
The Dave one, they go round, yeah, to clarify. But the when others... it's like the Telegraph's top 173 jokes.
Because loads of people, last few years, I have like people at home and friends, they go, like, I've made a Dave list a few times, but the other ones are like, why are your jokes never on those lists? They used to be. I'm like, I got PR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Simple.
Stop sending them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first, my debut year, I had a joke in there that was not in, I hadn't sent to a PR. I didn't send to a PR any jokes that year.
Okay.
And I had a joke that was in all those lists, and it was a misquote of a joke of mine that was in a review.
That's annoying. And in a review?
Yeah, yeah. It was
that's worse, bad as, anyway.
Yeah, they shouldn't put the joke in. It was like, it was a positive review, but it was like, he does good jokes like this. And then, it was the same joke, but I would never word it like this. So it worked, but I was like, it was just a weird way of speaking. I was like, such a journalist joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then I realized, oh, right, no one watches any shows or remembers jokes. They just read other things and go,
yeah,
right, just say that. I love this joke. I could never get this joke to work.
About death again?
No.
Oh.
Actually, it's about life.
Oh.
It's about pregnancy. Oh, God. See, I'm two sides of the coin. If you go up to a pregnant lady and say, so, have you got a name? She'll tell you the name of some baby. Right. I love how stupid that joke is. No one ever.
Some baby. Maybe that's
yeah, and it's her baby, but I like some baby. It's like quite American way of doing that joke. Some baby. Some baby. I don't care about this. I liked how dismissive it was.
But that as a setup, there will be a perfect way of doing that. Because have you got a name? Is something you say to?
Yeah, but I'm asking her name.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I just want her to. Say, yeah, exactly. Have you got a name?
Yeah, this is great.
Oh yeah, we're thinking Ralph.
Huh? Is it better if she's got just had the baby? Like, do people think about the name when
yeah,
it's in
so
them?
Yeah, so I think it's a question. I think the reason I thought of that is because it happened in something I was watching.
Right. Yeah.
It's like there was a sitcom where someone goes, "Oh, have you got a name yet?"
Because my brain went. Maybe they do that.
To be honest, it's have you got a name yet anyway, isn't it?
Have you got a name yet? Well, I'm 36.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone says it to you. Your girlfriend's pregnant or something.
Have
you got a name yet? Reese. Yeah.
Sorry, mate. Have you not seen BBC iPlayer? a man rang my doorbell and said, I'm a debt collector. I said, no way, so am I.
Hang on, I was just still thinking about the other one.
Do you want me to say it again? Or do you want to say it to yourself in your head?
Man rang the doorbell, said, I'm a debt collector. I said, oh, wow, so am I. Oh, you're collecting debt. Yeah, great. Sorry. I'm so sorry. This isn't easy, taking jokes one-on-one.
You know, that's sort of the reaction the audience
is. Oh, really?
I'm a debt collector. Just carry the one. How do I get to...
Maybe that is.
Ah, I see. And then it was like, oh, get rid of it.
I'm a debt...
Also...
But I really like it, though.
Didn't work in my show because I'm...
obviously got arrogant. Loads of money.
I'm arrogant on stage in brackets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't lose in that sense. Whenever I lose a joke, the person I am on stage doesn't know that I've
lost.
Yeah,
okay. So you would never admit.
Yeah, that I'm collecting debt. Like, yeah, he would.
Yeah.
He would deny it. I mean, I would deny it. I've got some routine.
That's a really
ideas.
Good joke. That's great, man. I like that.
I like the joke, but I was like, yeah. It didn't make sense.
But that's interesting because with me, if I come up with a joke, it's a good joke and it works. Like, I don't really have to consider a lot else. Like, if it's too dark, it doesn't work for me. But because it's just a joke, it doesn't matter. But because you've got your persona, that must be annoying. Like, that must be annoying if you write a good joke and you can't do it because of how you are.
The problem I've got with one-liners now is that often when I write one-liners now, they step on something else.
Right, yeah.
So it's like either another premise or, like I said before, they take the audience out of it too much. They stop believing me.
You used to have a section of jokes, didn't you?
Yeah, my way around it before as I did miscellaneous jokes 1 year.
Yeah.
At
your first year?
My second show, I did miscellaneous jokes. And then also what I used to do is one-liners that would get a small laugh or like an okay laugh, I would just put in a poem. So I used to do poems.
Hey, right.
And I just go, all right, make all these one-liners rhyme. And come up with a premise for what are these all about? So for example, okay, clearly I've got loads of jokes about my granddad dying or his funeral. I could easily just rhyme a bunch of these one-liners, make it into a thing. And then everyone's like, fucking hell, that poem's so funny. You're like, no, those jokes aren't good.
Yeah, yeah.
those jokes aren't funny. But when
the poems aren't funny.
But yeah, exactly.
So if you add a little bit to a poem.
That's amazing. And
that's clever.
But in a thing, yeah. So a lot of those... They're one of the reasons I stopped doing those.
Basically, what you're saying is you're a fraud.
Yeah. One of those reasons, I'm a debt collector, so am I. One of those reasons I stopped doing those poems is because they did feel like rejected jokes to me.
Mm.
And then, so then I changed it and I did poems that were like, had a clear thing. Or I was like, so I did one where it was like, the poem's a long story.
Yeah.
And I did one where like, the poem is a character thing. I'm two characters having a conversation, rhyming it.
Right.
And then I was like, I've got no more ideas. So like, what else can I do with this stuff? And I did one that was like a letter. And then when it came to doing, not the show I'm doing now, but the one before, I was like, fuck, I need something. I need a reason to write a poem. And I just couldn't think of one. So I was like, I don't force it because poetry's shit anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this year, I've got one because I take the piss out of the Nationwide adverts that had those earnest poems in.
Okay, perfect.
And so like, I do a kind of like joke one of them.
Mm.
And then it comes back round at the end where I actually do it.
Okay.
But it's taking the piss out of poetry. It's basically mocking me 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That whole
bit
is basically going, wasn't I a fucking twat? Another one-liner, if you want it.
Yeah, mate, I want them.
Anyone who says, I watched that film on a plane, is missing an opportunity to say, I was really high when I saw that. I don't like that joke.
But that's a Tim Vine
throwaway-esque
joke. Because it's too silly for you,
so
I feel.
The way I tried to do it on stage, which is why it never worked, is because I wanted to do a joke about irrelevant information in anecdotes.
Right.
Like when you say, oh, have you seen Jojo Rabbit? I was like, oh yeah, I saw that on a plane. And then the conversation, sorry, do you think we're going to talk about planes?
Yeah.
We're talking about a film. Just say yes. The conversation isn't now, oh, you know what I love about planes? You know those little nuts?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no. We're having a conversation about a film. Shut the fuck up. I don't care that you've been airborne in your life.
It's like a little humble brag as well.
It's like, I wanted to do that routine. And so I did that as like a sort of ranting bit. And there was some jokes in there. And that did kind of work.
Mm.
And then it was ending it with that. And also, if you do that, you're missing an opportunity to say, okay, I was really high when I saw that.
Yeah.
But because, once again, the rest of the routine was so real.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm doing an actual joke about someone being high. No one sees the pun in that joke.
Yeah.
And I hate puns anyway. So I was like, get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got rid of, yeah. So I just got rid of
it. But also, I imagine the other bit, it sounds really solid as a bit. And then that, I don't think would get as big a laugh.
Well,
so
it's just too like, once you've done it as a serious bit and then you tack that on.
And it does feel like you've ruined the whole bit. Groan. Just by, that'll be the last thing
that's
they remember
from
it.
The problem I've got with these lines is that often I'm like, well, I'm not going to do them on their own. I need to put them in something. Oh, you've ruined the joke.
Yeah.
It's so often it's like, you've spoiled it. We were with you.
Mm.
You were angry or you were sad about this thing or whatever. Or you were just like, isn't this great? And then you said a little fucking...
Yeah, that's. I guess it's a similar sort of thing to when you're doing. I used to do comparing. That's just when I first met you, in Folkestone. Randomly.
Oh yeah.
Is that the same useless piece of information?
Oh, yeah.
We were on the plane.
I got a plane leggy.
But that when I'd start comparing and chat to him, everyone's like, "Oh, he's one of us. He's chatting to us." And then I do a one-liner, and then they go, "Oh, that's weird."
They feel cheated, and I think it's this, right? I think. Certainly with like how bitty my stuff is now, and then if you do like a really visible one-liner that's a play on words, people go, sorry, don't try and be funny. Don't try and be funny.
He's trying now.
It's like, no, you were all, everything else you were saying was an accident. Suddenly you're doing this intentionally. How dare
trying
you
trying to trick us.
I know we've paid for a comedy show. I don't want to see comedy, thank you.
I know.
Yeah, unless that's why you need to have to like mark it out early. I do this. Mm. I do these.
And also,
jokes.
Sometimes if they've had a lot of acts that do bits, and then I go on, I it takes a minute or two
for them to understand,
just to get into. Oh, this is just what he does, and then they're fine.
People go, oh, this is going to be it, is it?
Yeah. Fine, we've paid.
It is weird that they feel like. And miscellaneous jokes was my solution to that a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was just like...
But I can't remember exactly what they were, but I remember them not being... I don't think they weren't like that one.
No, they were.
They were like imaginative.
Ideas. They were like ideas. They weren't really...
Sort of Mitch Hedberg.
Very
sort
few
of
them were plays on words. There was a couple. There was one that was a bit
was
of...
Was
there
Hitler high five thing in that one?
Yeah, I hate that joke. I can't believe I did that joke for so long.
Really?
What I liked about it was the joke that came after it, I really liked.
Okay.
So I used to do, maybe Hitler wouldn't have been so grumpy if people hadn't left him hanging for high fives all the time.
But that's a good joke.
What I liked about that is the word grumpy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I like about the joke. Yeah, the other bit, I'm just like, it's like a teenager's joke.
Right.
I mean, I I was a teenager when I wrote it. But it's, well, I wasn't. I would have been early 20s. But it's like such a, it's like as if, to me, it's like a sixth form. It's right. like a joke that goes around the common room. Yeah, someone yeah, saw yeah. it on Sickopedia or something like that. And I was yeah, like, yeah. fuck that. But after it, I would say, I know I'm going to hell for doing these jokes. I don't care. People always say, Reese, where are you going to end up? Gates of heaven or gates of hell? I'm always like, well, as long as it's a gated community, I'll feel right at home. And I liked saying that, even though it's really labored to get to that punchline.
That's great, though.
Gates of heaven, gates of hell. Who would speak like that?
Yeah,
I'm having
yeah.
to say all of that just to get to gated community. But they never noticed.
No, I think that's great. Yeah, man.
Do you want any more?
I can't remember. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want another one?
How long have we been? Oh, yeah, go a bit. Do a few more, yeah.
I'll do some that aren't one-liners.
Okay.
Oh, here's a routine I really liked, and it did work. I just couldn't get an end to it, so I just gave up.
Okay.
And it didn't fit anything in the show, so I just got rid of it. I had this bit about when you're in the cinema. First of all, it was about how when you're in the cinema, before the film starts, then the cinema shows you an advert for the cinema that you're currently in. And you go, what are you hoping to gain with this? I don't care about the brand of cinema. It's yeah. geographically convenient. It's the one showing it at the time I want, nearest me. You're not a football team. I'm not going, fucking yes, Odeon, come on, son. And then I would move that into, and then after that, they follow up with an advert for the speakers of the cinema. Right, they play you this really weird psychedelic advert of the speakers, and the way it works is it's like,
oh, yeah.
you see like Pepsi being poured into a over yeah. some ice, but then that Pepsi becomes oil, and then it's like in a canyon, and it's like camera swoops through this, and then the oil hardens and becomes leather, and it's the leather of the chair, and then like turns and it's the chair, and then it's like take your seat, and then suddenly loads of ball bearings appear and start booming and bouncing, and then it's, I used to do the joke, and then it's like you're about to watch A Quiet Place. And I stopped it, and that would get a big laugh. But obviously, that was like, I mean, that was going to date so quickly.
Yeah, yeah, because it's, like, not, it. It's not classic.
There's not
it?
A lot of silent movies you can do that joke about yeah. anymore. The artist. And then I would say, who is this advert for? The only way that's relevant to show that advert is if you're expecting the owner of a rival cinema to come into this going, what are they doing that we're not? We need to get these six speakers or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would become the owner of this cinema, which I was calling James Cineworld, I think. And I would like have a put my finger on above my lip as a fake moustache. And I'd be like, hello, and like do this thing. And it would just be a conversation. Oh, like one of those one-sided conversation bits.
Yeah.
Where he's answering all the questions. You can tell what the question is from his answers.
Yeah.
And all that. But it would just
like those
on.
I spoke to someone about those sort of jokes.
It would go yeah. on and on. Yeah. This bit as in this silly, it was like the silliest thing I'd done on stage for ages.
Yeah.
So it was so funny because it was so different to the other stuff. But out in previews was always just, why am I still doing this routine? Well, I can't think of an ending. And then yeah, that would be a big yeah. laugh and I'd move on and I was like, once it came to charging people proper money for the show, I was like, I can't do that. And I kept toying with different endings, trying different ways out.
So
why
would they want to show a rival? Is that the point?
What?
Why would they want to show a rival how good their speakers are to for them to then get
it,
them?
Yeah, I think in my head it was like the speaker company have paid for the advert, not the cinema.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So Dolby
oh.
are showing the advert in the cinema, hoping... Because you can't yeah. buy those speakers. They're industrial-sized cinema
yeah,
speakers.
Yeah.
Right? So a punter at the cinema isn't going, that's what I need. yeah. Dolby
but that's
surround
funny
sound.
If you said...
Yeah, exactly. So I once again, I didn't make it clear enough
yeah.
what I was getting at.
Because that's... Yeah, maybe if you did it from that angle of the, who are they for?
What
are people really watching this?
No one, they're not available for purchase. So yeah,
joke
I think that's a sign we get rid of
every
it.
Every time.
I already got rid of it.
Every time the joke police show up.
I just like doing the, really it was just a fun bit to perform, but it was never funny. You know, and it's just like, you kind of know deep down, it's not funny enough in the kernel of the idea.
Yeah.
That it's not something anyone gives a fuck about. Which no. is one of the reasons it was funny that I was furious.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like a cheat code to making something funny. It's just be angry about something that doesn't matter. And everyone has done that since the dawn of comedy. But
yeah.
Also, what I liked is that it was so angry at the start and then it becomes so silly to illustrate the point. But I couldn't get the way out good.
Something just jumped in my head then. If you sort of were ranting and really ranting about it and then somehow the punchline is... You're still in the cinema ranting about it.
Right,
with the noise.
And then you get kicked out. You're so like, someone says, can you keep the noise down?
Yeah, it's noise related then. That you're,
I
think that would take some work to work out how to exactly get the angle.
This is
that.
Exactly, I can see this being a new version of, you know, when you come to write a new show and you just start the same bit every time. No, that bit is good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get something out of that bit. I used to have a bit about, I said on your previous iteration of this podcast, about everyone having a different method to poach eggs. Yeah. And poaching eggs is like everyone has a different solution to curing hiccups. So everyone thinks they've got the answer of how to do it. And I would just list and get more and more insane. So like some people will say wrap it in cling film and then some people like make a whirlpool. Some people I'll put in a couple of drops of blood from a firstborn and I would just like go escalate it and it would work, but it was always just like, what's the fucking point in this?
Where's it going?
I think this is the new... Eggs is dead. It's been dead for years.
Has it? So that was it since the last podcast?
Yeah, but that was years ago we did that podcast.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's still available.
What that was called?
A Joke's Not In My Show.
Oh, so you have just... Talk about efficiency. You just got rid of the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done one of those stop talking jokes in the title of your podcast.
That's brilliant.
Jokes. And there we go. That's the with Mark Simmons. That's the podcast. This I found so funny.
Well, this podcast has got an arc.
Yeah, there's... That's I love what I mean. It. You build it in.
My stuff never has an arc.
And once again, it's been ruined by me saying jokes.
Yeah.
Don't try and be funny, for fuck's sake.
What's the time? Do a couple more? How long have you got? You in a rush off, or...?
Got any more you'd like to do?
Rush,
mate.
My agent's probably needs
Want
a piss.
yeah.
But no.
This was a line I really liked, but it didn't... this is so true of, like... To me, this is a, do you have a job where you have to drive around the country all the time?
Mm.
I mean, I don't drive, but anyway, the joke is, I don't care if my dad's proud of me. Petrol stations say they're proud to serve Costa. The word has lost all meaning, right? No one knows that. Outside every petrol station, there's a little plastic Costa cup, massive one, that says, we are proud to serve Costa.
You know what? I've never noticed it, but I'm not an observational comedian.
But
so
it's like every... I was just like, I'm sick of seeing this being told you have to make your parents proud. Like this fucking shell. People would just be like, it would work. It would like titter.
Comics would like it. Maybe the observational ones.
I don't think
But that is funny. But people, yes, it's because people would just go, oh, yeah, I know what he means. Because that stuff gets banded around.
But it's a good example of like, that one I did loads of I put it in loads of different bits. I tried it loads. It was like, I just wanted it, I didn't want it to be a big punchline, just a little throwaway on the way to the joke thing, and I eventually was like, just forget it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked the other way around of being like, you're pointing it out to your dad. See, even there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think I did try it like that. There's one.
It's funny that there's
another one similar to that pregnancy one. I just remembered.
What's that?
This to me is in the same category of when I said the pregnancy one of, do you have a name? Tells you the name of a baby is how come it feels normal to say just a little tidy up, please, to a hairdresser, but not to a cleaner? I just love the idea of like, you just have to do too much work in your head for that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to imagine both scenarios. To go into a hairdresser, sit down, just a little tidy up, please, normal.
Yeah.
The idea of a cleaner coming around to your house, and you go, yeah, just a little tidy up, please. And then being like, yeah, I know.
That's the job.
Yeah, I know.
But is that, about a little tidy up, for me, would going into the hairdressers, would the joke would then be
they clean up the hairdressers?
Yeah, they start sweeping up. Yeah, or something where it means you then don't get your hair cut for ages.
Just a little tidy up, please. You're just like, all right, mate, it's been a busy day. Don't slag it off.
Yeah,
he gets offended that.
Yeah, there's something.
Yeah, there's
little
hair
tidy
on the
up, please.
Cool.
Yeah, what do you think? What are you expecting?
Yeah.
I feel like, but they I had to. Again, I don't think it's very good, but something about going in and asking for a short haircut,
and then they went,
that'd be such and such pounds, please.
Right.
I haven't actually tried it, but when I said it, it didn't feel like the rhythm was going to work. But I feel like there's something in it. But then I think, has that been done? I don't know.
Yeah, though, I think just a little.
That style of joke's been done. Of
so many
something quick.
Jokes. I'm thinking of. Every analogy in my next show being about getting your hair cut.
Yeah.
And I'll have to find a reason to justify it by the end of the show. But like, I've got so many haircut analogies.
Oh, really?
I don't want to give them away.
No, no,
it
no.
might actually be my show.
Yeah.
Sometimes the way I find jokes is I'll search a keyword and my Twitter handle.
Right.
I go, well, I've probably tweeted this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Twitter is basically a notebook.
Yes. I did that with that Out There show. Because I'm guessing with you guys, they said, what routines have you got that we can then find a place for? Mm. Did they? Because with us, the one-liner guys, they went, but you're going to be in the hairdressers.
Come up with...
Go. So, yeah, so then I had to then go...
I've got more one-liners that were more appropriate for that show than the bits I did on that show.
Right.
Afterwards, the producer and I were talking about...
Where were... Did I see you?
I did some like long routines. I saw you in a hot tub.
You were doing a bit in the house. Yes.
I was doing a bit about moving house.
Yeah. That was a really good bit, though.
Well, that bit actually is appropriate for this podcast because that bit I knew was going to be a good bit. It was an observational bit, really, about how insane it is the process of getting a house.
Mm.
House viewings is not enough. Basically, the premise is this is a house. I'm going to live here and all I get to do is look around it for 10 minutes and I make the decision on that.
Yeah.
You should get to spend the night in it. You test drive a car. You try clothes on. You don't get to do anything with a house. A billion times more important.
It's more expensive.
Exactly. That was the observation.
Yeah.
Is that like, this is it and you're going around. And not only is that, you're being shown around by someone actively trying to trick you.
Mm. Yeah. And you know they are.
So you're kind of like, you're spending the whole time second guessing. Why does this guy with an eyebrow piercing care so much about this water pressure? Oh, it's because he's trying to make me not look at the damp everywhere in the mold or whatever. But I had this whole observational routine of 10 minutes or whatever. And I was trying it, all these different observations. And then just like observations about house viewings and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know when you have it and it's like, it definitely works.
Mm.
And everything's getting laughs, but it's not right. I just knew it's not right. It just felt so stitched together.
Yeah, okay.
And then I was watching... John Mulaney, I think, and he was doing this sort of stuff I wanted to do, and it was like a big long observational thing.
That the same
things.
Topic?
No.
Oh, right.
Different topic, but long observational things, and they really felt like routines that start, middle, and end. Have a start, middle, and end. But it was the same. I was like, this is the same as what I'm doing. How is that working so much? And then I realized, no, that's not it at all. The observations are all hidden. It's a personal story about him and his dad, or him and his wife. And then I was like, it has to be personal. I literally just stole that. I was like, me and my girlfriend moved house.
Yeah.
Here's how this house viewing affected us in that way. Mm. And then it ends with my girlfriend getting revenge on a landlord.
Yeah.
And I was like, it has to be. They have to think it's a story. It's not. It's an observation.
And then you're
routine.
Sneaking the observations in. You
the
mean?
Audience now think, oh, he's telling us a 10-minute anecdote about how he moved house.
Yeah.
With his girlfriend. Moved in with his girlfriend. The moving in with the girlfriend stuff is irrelevant to what I want to get across.
Yeah,
what I want to get across is now asides, in inverted commas, of... No, it's these observations.
They're
but
the
I have
bits.
To justify why I realise these things to the audience, or they can't.
They get more emotionally invested.
Yeah, they just weren't by... Yeah, it was just like... Every gig felt like a new material gig when I would do that stuff, because it was just like, okay, these ideas, you're trying out these ideas.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I added that in that I was like, ah... And it completely unlocked the bit.
I feel that's great that you watched him and was able to really see that.
And he's not the first
that.
Person to do that. It's just who I happened to be watching at the time. But like loads of people. Woody Allen used to do that.
Yeah.
Loads of people have done that throughout history. Have just gone, make it. The thing Woody Allen did, which I noticed years ago, which I don't do, and I noticed years ago and thought, I'm going to start doing that. And it's just, is every story he tells is in the present tense. So I go into this shop.
Oh, wow.
None of it is. I went to a shop the other day and this happened. It's like, I walk into the shop. I say to the shopkeeper...
I've never noticed anything. That's interesting.
A lot of those old school American guys do that.
Yeah.
And it's like...
So
you're in the story more.
And then...
It's live.
And it's almost like do you think it's like the audience think that you don't know what's going to happen? So it's even a surprise to you when something happens? Or...
I don't know. It's probably...
I mean, that might be nonsense. But if you say this happens...
Yeah, it's probably better for tension. This is probably storytelling 101, like everyone knows. Anyone listening to this is going, man,
I'm the worst person to...
How to tell a story.
I know nothing.
But I just... it would be so laboured for me to do that, I think, that I just don't. It would be so unnatural.
Yeah.
It's such an American thing. But yeah, the whole just like...
So you don't do that? You haven't sort of started doing that?
I think I tried it like... So this is... I would have been a year into stand-up when I saw...
Yeah.
I noticed that Woody Allen was doing that, and I probably tried it then, and it's like, ugh, why
I guess
is this
it doesn't
this?
Sound right for an like us to say talk like that. Maybe that
I think maybe the problem is that a lot of my routines is like story happened, and here's why I am now furious.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, if it's in the present tense, it's like, so you're immediately there. It's like, I need to have gone, because there's a lot of bits where I come out of the story to go, and he said this, which, by the way, is incorrect anyway, because So if I'm going, and he says, and immediately I'm thinking, it's like, wow. I don't know, it's just a bit more of a...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just long-winded. But that, I guess it's certain, you got to pick your anecdotes.
Yes.
And make it work.
Yeah.
I also have, if I have a one-liner about a character, so sorry.
That's right, mate.
If I have one-liner about a character or something, or just like, so I've got this joke about a guy called Jonathan. I just had a joke about the name Jonathan when it's spelt Jonathan with an O-N at the end.
Yeah.
So it's like Jonathan.
Yeah.
I just had this line about Jonathan for ages. Just love this line. Jonathan. Like, I'm going to hang out only with John's for a year and get sponsored to do it or something like that. I had that for ages.
Oh, that's a great joke.
And I was like, I was doing it. And then it was like, it had to be... The only way that I could make that joke work is if it's someone I'm angry at. And his name was Jonathan, and he spelled it Jonathan. It had to be like that.
Aye.
So I made it an estate agent.
And then it's you just going, because you're so angry, you've come up with this ridiculous... Agent.
His name's Jonathan, and he spells it Jonathan. So that it's like... Oh, you're really petty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already angry in the routine, and it's like, oh, you've got to the point of insanity with pettiness. When I just did it as like, isn't it weird when there's that name Jonathan, but it's spelled O-N, people are just like, I don't care about this. It's the same thing as, why are you telling us this? You're angry about other stuff. Why are you suddenly doing this? Because I was doing this thing. I moved house. I hate house viewings. I'm furious. Landlords are dicks, and so are estate agents. Estate agent can be called Jonathan.
Yeah.
And now I've got a reason to be angry at.
So you had that name a while, and it was.
Yeah,
and
I tried it. On its own, I tried it with different characters as well that I didn't like. Yeah. I was at school with this guy called this. Isn't that funny? It's like, no, it's rage. It has to be rage. It has to be the whole being angry at something insanely petty.
I like that.
But anytime there's a character, it's just someone in the joke. Anytime I've got a joke about a person, there's just someone in an anecdote. It's not. It wasn't actually there.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
You just have to put it in there.
Yeah, that's nice when you find that little puzzle piece and you can just slot it in.
Yeah.
Reece James!
#awooga.
#awooga to Reece James. Wonderful episode. Any feedback at Jokes with Mark across all podcast... No, that's the wrong thing, actually.
Yeah.
I was going to say podcast platforms, but that's not where you put the feedback.
It's all social media.
I did get really comfortable. Mm-hmm. I was really comfortable there. Yeah, thanks, Joel.
You got to stay on your toes.
At social media...
At social media. You sound a million years old.
Tag me at social media. at marksimmons.com.
Or you can write some, post what, it.
What, yeah. Write what, a physical letter.
Yeah.
Ah, it could do. Or join my mailing list.
Yeah.
Can you reply to mailing list posts?
No.
You can't. If I put a mailing list out, they can't reply.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Maybe you should put a little box on your website.
Saying what?
Email me.
Oh, I'll do that.
Oh, well, feedback there.
Yeah, well, you could do. Just go to social media, it's easier.
Yeah.
At social media. and #awooga to everybody out there. Thanks, Reece, for coming on. Great episode. Lots of cool ones coming up. Anything else to say before we go, Joel?
Nothing from me, Mark.
Nothing from you?
No.
Nothing from me?
Good.
There was like that was from you.
What?
You said good.
Oh.
If it's nothing, I was hoping you were going to go, nothing from me. I'll go, it's nothing from me. And then it's just dead silence.
And that'll be our new catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing from you.
Nothing from me. Do I say both of those? Nothing from you. Nothing from me. But I won't know unless I ask you. Anything from you? You shake your head.
I don't know if I can say anything.
Yeah, you can say nothing from me. Anything from you?
Nothing from me. Anything from you?
Nothing from me. #awooga.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.